Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Saregh Limited Q3 and FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Monarch Networth Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal your operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vinay Menon from Monarch Networth Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Muskan. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, it's my pleasure to host the senior management of Saregh. We have with us Mr. Aditya Krishna, CEO of the company, and Mr. Neeraj Kumar, CFO and COO of the company. I'll now hand the call to Mr. Aditya Krishna for his opening remarks. Then we'll move to Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you, Vinay. Hello and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our earnings call to discuss the performance of the third quarter and 9 months of FY25. Let me first start off by thanking our hosts for today's earnings call, Monarch Networth. Now, let me brief you on the key business highlights for the third quarter, after which my colleague Neeraj, our Chief Operating Officer and Group CFO, will brief you on the financials. Firstly, Saregh celebrated 25 years since inception. This milestone underscores our years of commitment to delivering exceptional service to our customers. Moving on to the business, I'm pleased to report that we continue to report revenue growth during the quarter of 18% year-on-year and net profit growth of 20% year-on-year, which is higher than industry standards. The inline growth of our selected industry verticals is a reflection of a clear strategy and a market positioning for us to reach $500 million in revenue by 2030. During the quarter, our high-value client base expanded, with the number of clients spending over USD 1 million increasing from 17 to 18, driven by the movement of one customer from USD 500,000 to USD 1 million. Our global technical workforce grew significantly, wherein we added 437 employees, increasing from 1,838 as of March 31, 2024, to 2,275 as of December 31, 2024, due to our strong visibility of earnings. Despite furloughs in the third quarter, our utilization improved by 1% for the 9 months ended December 31, 2024, compared to the previous financial year. We have seen the impact of furloughs on our quarterly revenues. However, the impact on margins has been minimized by operational efficiencies. In December 2024, we strengthened our capabilities with the acquisition of Lee Techno, a premier ServiceNow partner which will add on to our service offerings. We continue to invest in AI technologies and innovations so as to capture upcoming opportunities in future. This is in line with our key strategies, which is investment in capability and partnering with intelligent platforms. Most enterprises revenues greater than USD 500 million have invested in intelligent platforms such as Salesforce, ServiceNow, Snowflake, etc., and this gives us an opportunity to increase the wallet share with these customers. We also have a roadmap to build AI frameworks in the coming year to help fast-track our customers' product roadmap journey. With that said, I would now like to request my colleague Neeraj to give you the financial highlights for the quarter under review.
Thank you, Aditya, and thank you everyone for taking the time and joining our earnings call today to discuss the results of the third quarter and 9 months ended of the financial year 2025 under review. For the third quarter of financial year 2025, our operating revenues were reported at INR 227 crores, representing a growth of around 18% year-on-year. The quarter three EBITDA stood at INR 38 crores, which grew by around 15% year-on-year, with the EBITDA margins being at 16.78%. Net profit for the quarter was around INR 27 crores, which grew by 20% year-on-year, and the profit after tax margins were at 11.91%. For the 9 months ended of the financial year 2025, the operating revenues were reported at around INR 643 crores, representing a growth of around 14% year-on-year. The EBITDA stood at INR 110 crores, which grew by around 6% year-on-year, with the EBITDA margins being at 17.08%. The net profit was at INR 79 crores, which grew 8% year-on-year, with the profit after tax margins at 12.25%. Now coming to the year-to-date key performance metrics. The revenue split by geography. USA contributed 42% of our total revenues. Europe contributed 23%, while the remaining 35% came from Asia-Pacific and other regions. The on-site revenue mix was 45% and the offshore was at 55%. The revenue split across the verticals is as follows. FinTech is at 31%, high-tech media and utilities at 42%, transportation and logistics at 16%, and retail e-commerce contributed to 11%. Coming to some of our customer metrics, Saksoft has around 18 customers in the USD $1 million plus revenue range. The total employee count at the end of the quarter stood at 2,513, out of which 2,275 were technical, with the utilization level of the employees, excluding trainees, being at 84% for the 9 months ended financial year 2025. We do believe that the impact of the furloughs will be limited to the third quarter of FY25. Thank you, and with that, we now open the floor for the Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Karishma Shah from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to the management team and thanks for taking my question. Curious to know how is the outlook for the fourth quarter, if you could throw some light as to how the demand environment is shaping up and directionally how is FY26 looking? That's the first question.
I didn't get your name. Can you just repeat your name, please?
My name is Grishma Shah and I'm calling from Envision Capital.
Okay. You know, the future is always bright. So next year looks really good. And quarter four also, I think we're on track in terms of quarter on quarter growth. You know, we should do, reasonably well this quarter. I mean, 1 month of this quarter is over. So pretty much we have decent visibility of the year. We will start next year on a good note in the sense we will enter with a good order book, and we are optimistic about next year.
Okay. The other one was during this quarter, the 18% growth that we've seen, is it completely organic or there is some acquisition which has been consolidated not present last year same period?
Compared to last year, yeah, there would be an acquisition of Augmento which would contribute to the growth. I would say
24 crores.
So roughly what, half the growth would come through the acquisition of Augmento, which was not there the previous year.
Okay. And also, if you could highlight, the EBITDA margin or the EBITDA growth is 15%. So, Is there certain one-off cost during the quarter, or have we, added employees and therefore, the next quarter margins should be better?
Yeah, Neeraj will give you an answer to that.
Yeah, there are two aspects for this question. One is,
Yeah.
obviously, it's a period of the furlough. So, there is impact on the billing, and you do see some idle cost, which impacts the EBITDA. And second is also that a portion of the employees were given their annual appraisals effective October. So those are the two factors predominantly which were instrumental for this EBITDA.
Okay. And I believe the high-tech media vertical has done phenomenally well during this quarter. Is it largely due to the acquisition, or this is part of our organic growth?
I would say it's both. One of our key customers has, we have increased wallet share there, and the acquisition gave us two marquee customers who we are, making significant inroads into that those two accounts. So, it's fingers crossed, it's looking good.
Okay. Fine. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ayesh.
Next question is from the line of Ayesh from Fintrust Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Hi. Congratulations on a good set of numbers, sir. I just wanted to ask you on the guidance that you provided of a top line of 1,000 crores. I can see so far we've reached an order of 645 crores. That would be, in the fourth quarter, that would be a target of 350 crores oddly, right? So any plans on how that is going to be, or if it's going to be a little dent up?
There's going to be a delta for sure, and I don't know if you were there at the last earnings call, but we had indicated a range of between 870 to 1,000 crores as probably what we'll end the year with, 1,000 being the upper end of our initial guidance. We're going to be towards the lower end of that range, as it stands today.
Right, sir. I had attended that.
Yes. You would remember that.
Yes, sir. All right, sir. That was my only question. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Linoni Mehta from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on good numbers, even in weak quarter. My question was related to the recent acquisition that we have. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so we recently acquired G Techno. I wanted to understand how will the growth trajectory be for the same?
Sorry, what is the last sentence? What will be the
growth trajectory for the same and what numbers we expect?
This is a very small company. We have acquired it because it's a premier partner of ServiceNow, one of our key platforms that we are focusing on. The platforms that we are focusing on are Salesforce, ServiceNow, Databricks, HCL Commerce, and ServiceNow was the last platform that we didn't have capability in. Now with Z Techno, we have that capability, we have that partnership, so we are all set with all the platforms that we had initially strategized to invest in and build capability. So it's, once again, like all our acquisitions, it's been a capability play, not a revenue play.
Okay.
Ma'am, any other question?
Yeah, so how would this capability, how much could it contribute to our growth moving ahead is what I want to understand. If you could just throw some light on it.
Like I said in my opening remarks, ServiceNow is a platform that a lot of organizations greater than a 500 million invest in. And with this capability, a lot of our existing customers as well as new prospects, we will be able to target with this new capability. So exactly how it will add to our, growth, very difficult to say, but it will be a significant contributor to our capability menu that we offer to our customers.
Okay, sir. And so another question was to understand, has the scenario in terms of, what has the scenario in terms of discretionary spend been, and what do we expect it like in the moving, in the quarters moving ahead? Any comment on that?
Madam, there's a lot of disturbance at your end. So can you repeat that question?
Any update on how has the discretionary spend been in US and UK?
Yes.
And like any comments on the discretionary spend side?
Hello. Yeah, you want me to comment on the discretionary? We don't see any drop in discretionary spending. In fact, we would see a bump up now with the US elections, behind us. Companies will be very clear, going forward and the beginning of the year, new budgets, etc. So I don't see any negative impact on discretionary spends in the US market. Europe, UK, I mean, it's a different ballgame. Economies are struggling. How much discretionary spending will happen? But again, our focus is the US market.
Okay, that's it from my end.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mehta from Basna Investments. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on good set of numbers. Sir, I have two, three questions. First one, it is related to the Septech acquisition. So I just wanted to ask that during the quarter, how many clients have we added and what kind of revenue are we expecting from this acquisition?
So far, Septech has been very promising. Since the acquisition, we would have close to a 100 people opportunity as we speak in Salesforce with our existing customers. Now, all of them have not materialized, but they will. I mean, these are, these are proposals in the pipeline, which we wouldn't have had if we didn't have Septech. So, so far, fingers crossed, it looks really good for Septech, and us. Now, how much revenue will contribute? It's a little early to say that. I mean, these things take a little bit of time, to go to existing customers with a new capability. They have to, believe in it. They will ask for a proof of concept. Then you give a proposal. So, it takes a little while, but things are moving in the right direction.
Got it, sir. And sir, how many employees are onboarded for this?
In Septech, you mean?
Yes, for both in Septech and overall as well for the quarter.
So I said in Septech, Septech had about 100 people. Overall for the quarter, we have added
almost 200 people.
200 people in the quarter, Rohan.
So, sir, in the next quarter, I mean the quarter which is going on, so how many more employees are we going to add?
I would say approximately the same number.
Got it, sir. Okay, sir, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Mohit, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is with respect to the organic growth of the company from the perspective of the currency. The rupee has depreciated recently. So I just wanted to understand how much is the growth is due to the rupee depreciation and how much would the growth be in dollar terms?
In constant currency, or put it this way, the currency impact has been marginal.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we, number one, we hedge. And secondly, a lot of our costs are in the local currency. So impact of currency, rupee depreciation has been very, very marginal. I would say less than 1%.
Okay. And sir, what's the, what percentage of the exposure do we hedge?
50% we hedge. 50% we leave open.
Understood. But since we may have missed out on this rupee depreciation, then if we are hedging, then what I want to indicate is with the rupee depreciating, this actually helps in our revenue growth. But with hedging, we may have missed out on this rupee depreciation gain, right?
You know, Mohit, I try to stick to our core competency. Mm-hmm. Managing, or trading in foreign exchange is not our core competency. So I will stay out of that. We will follow a consistent policy of hedging. And what I've seen in the last 25 years is that a constant policy, whatever it might be, is the best approach, you know, to markets, especially foreign exchange markets.
Understood, sir. Thanks for that. So my next question is with respect to more broadly with the policy change in the U.S. Do you see any kind of strategy change with respect to the industry that you or your peers are incorporating so as to adjust to any kind of policy changes in the U.S.?
We are definitely transforming the company because we firmly believe that every 3 to 4 years, business needs to transform to continue to grow and survive. Our focus, you know, and I mentioned this in our last call also, is moving rapidly towards being known and building capability and leading from the perspective of an AI-led software engineering company. In fact, if you look at our website, you will see the landing page reflects that. So our key focus now is AI-led product engineering. And for that, we have built, very good frameworks in testing and in development. And we're continuing to fine-tune and evolve these frameworks, which shorten the time for development as well as testing for product companies and independent software vendors in the U.S. market. And we are very confident that that will be our growth driver for the next 2 to 3 years. That's what I mean by transformation, and that's what I mean by making a strategic shift in that market.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much. That's all from my end.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Naman Shah from IT Service Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question is, what was the utilization for the quarter? Are there any chances of improving on it?
Neeraj?
Yeah. The utilization for the quarter was around 84%. Obviously, this was a quarter impacted by furloughs. So we do expect that around 1% to 1.5%, there could be some improvement in the coming quarter.
Okay. And why did we see a degrowth in the retail division?
Sorry?
Why did we see a degrowth in the retail division?
Why did we see a degrowth in the retail division? The retail stroke commerce, as we call it, the quarter three is the slowest quarter for the commerce vertical, and it was also additionally impacted by certain furloughs. So that was predominantly the main reason for the marginal degrowth in the retail segment.
Right. And what are the reasons behind the revival of fintech and TNL?
Strong customer mining and strong sales growth.
Okay. And any reason, any particular reason for the huge addition and number of employees?
It's a linear industry. You want to grow revenue, you have to add people. So as we grow the business, there will be headcount additions. All services industries, especially tech services, is like that.
Right. Thank you, sir. That's all from my.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Udit, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, Udit.
Yeah, so I just wanted to know, for this quarter, we could see that the employee cost is on a higher trajectory. So, what will be the levels in going ahead?
Neeraj mentioned that employee costs were higher because we did a segment of appraisals effective October. That should even out in the coming quarter. But again, next year, appraisals and the next financial year will happen. So, this is a constant increase which we have to offset by more efficiency as well as higher top line, and that's what we keep doing. Unfortunately, customers are not willing to accept price increases, so we have to drive better realization through either fixed price bids or managed services, which we're attempting to do, and the basket is what matters. So if the basket is driven by better utilization and price realization, that is one way by which we can, reduce the percentage of employee costs.
Okay. Thanks. And also wanted to know whether this farming and hunting measures are they showing any results for the company?
Yes, absolutely.
Hello?
Yes, they are showing results. There is a big focus on farming, existing accounts, and a lot of our growth is coming from that, and a separate focus is on hunting. So the sales team has been broken up into hunting and farming, and nobody does both, and that is beginning to show results.
Okay. And sir, I had one particular question regarding the disclosure. So, if you can throw some light on the average contract value and the total contract value, and also, are we planning to give these numbers in the future?
We normally don't talk about contract value. All I can say is that what we try and aim for is when we start the new year, we try and at least have 80% of the order book of the previous revenue. So if we finish the year with, say, 100, we try and enter the next year with at least 80 of order book, just as a rule of thumb.
Okay, sir. Understood. Fair point. Thank you, and those are my questions. Best of luck for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sneha Agarwal from DB Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I have two questions. One is, do we see deal size increasing going forward? And what kind of deal size are we targeting now?
Deal sizes, we don't get business through RFPs predominantly. So, there's no concept of a deal size. All I can say is, our average project value, when we start an engagement, is anywhere between $150,000 to $250,000. That's how we start. Once we start, we try and do a dedicated team concept where we build a team with the customer and, you know, try and get the customer dependent on that team so that there is consistency and predictability of revenues. So that's our engagement model.
Sure. That was helpful. And secondly, we have seen some margin dip below 17%. And just wanted to kind of get sense if this trend is going to continue going ahead.
You know, an EBITDA of anywhere between 17 to 18% is what we are aiming for. As we grow top line, there will be occasions when we will have to, you know, acquire business at competitive rates. So, you know, we would, you know, as long as we are within that 17 to 18, we will do that. So as the company grows, you know, there has to be plus minus 1% of EBITDA margin, which has to be expected.
Sure. Thank you for answering the question. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Jain from Monarch Networth Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Aditya.
Yeah, I was missing you, Amit.
Yes, I missed last phone call. Very congratulations on good set of numbers. Aditya, just a couple of things more on the macro point of view from the long-term perspective. So what we have seen that share of high-tech has been increased. I think that's a good sign. But in that component, just want to understand exactly the type of work we are doing. I just read it's more of AI-related. But if you can explain it further, what exactly you are doing and how we are seeing going forward, because I read last on call that we are expecting that this year is growing and high-tech will be the biggest contributor in the coming year. So it's just going to understand more from the technology perspective, the kind of work we are doing in this vertical.
We define high-tech as the segment in which independent software vendors are classified. So there are two types of independent software vendors, or what is called ISVs, you know, companies that build a product to sell in the market, and companies that have products which they take to their customers. You know, so either they are enterprise ISVs or vertical ISVs. So, for example, Salesforce would be an ISV. ServiceNow would be an ISV. But these are, you know, what they call the big tech names. There are, in the Bay Area itself, 3,000 ISVs of various sizes. So you can imagine if in the Bay Area, which is a portion of California, there are 3,000 ISVs, you can imagine how many ISVs there are in the US market. So it's a huge segment, and that's our main focus today as we build the company's revenues. Now, what do we do there? We do three main things, and they're all AI-led. Number one, we do AI-led product development. Second, we do AI-led product maintenance and sustenance. And third, we do AI-led enhancements. So for an ISV, we will do development of a new product idea. We will do maintenance and sustenance of an existing product, or we will enhance the product with AI embedded features. So those are the three areas we work with in for ISVs in that high-tech space.
Okay. And Aditya, about this new technology, everyone is hearing about this deepfake. But there are a few things which makes it very interesting. One is it's an open source. Secondly, about the security part is there, because the servers, like in our case, like even we are adopting it because the servers will reside in here. You can do that. So anything, about the impact on your business, there are a lot of things which may not come true. There are a lot of hype also. But let's assume that if it comes to be true, what they are claiming. So what exactly do you see the future, how it can disrupt the business?
Companies like DeepSeek are AI platforms. They are AI enterprise software. We are not in the enterprise software product business. We are a services company. So we, in the context of DeepSeek, we would be a supplier to DeepSeek to build their product. So for us, nothing changes.
That will help our case, and that asking from that perspective. I completely agree that it will not disrupt your business. I'm just seeing from the how it can help us in the long run.
Absolutely, it will help because companies like DeepSeek, come onto the picture. There will be a thousand DeepSeek lookalikes or wannabes. So, there will be thousand more DeepSeek ideas like DeepSeek ideas which will surface. And for every idea that surfaces, there is a company like Saxsoft which is willing to go after them to provide services. So market should grow and become bigger.
And Aditya, about this on the technology side, I think in last conversation you say that digital engineering and just a share of those revenue this is coming from different technologies or offerings, I would say, your testing services and digital engineering. So if you can just spell it out about this quarter, how things are shaping, how much it is contributing, the vertical wise, the offerings wise, our breakup, revenue breakup.
We'll have to give you the breakup, offline, but to simplify it, I would look at, our offerings in two categories. One is what we call intelligent products and the other is called intelligent platforms. In the intelligent products, it is the AI-led software development lifecycle proposition. So anything around testing, development, enhancement, sustenance, using AI will come under intelligent products. The other is the intelligent platforms, which is our capability around Salesforce, ServiceNow, HCL Commerce, Databricks, which I mentioned earlier in the call. So that's how we are classifying our service offerings. The focus of intelligent platforms is on farming our existing accounts, and on intelligent products, it is for hunting on new logos.
Fair enough. Thank you so much, Aditya, and all the best.
Thanks, Amu.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Pratap Maliwal from Mount Intra Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I just had one question that in our roughly 18% YOY growth, so the inorganic component consists both of Augmento as well as Pepties, is that correct?
That's correct.
So can you help me quantify the incremental impact? I believe you pointed out that I think about half of it was from Augmento. What was the contribution of Pepties?
Together it was half.
Okay, so Augmento and Septis together is half, right?
Yes.
Okay, and pointed out that the monthly run rate of Augmento is about 4 crores per quarter. What is the comparable number for Septis?
Septis is a small company. Annual revenue is 20 crores. So 1.5 crores a month.
Understood. And our latest acquisition, I believe you did point out it's a very small company, but just any numbers around its revenue or something?
It'll be about 3.5 crores annually.
Annually. Okay, understood. Thanks for taking my question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ria from Shah Investments. Please go ahead.
I'll just ask the question.
Can you speak a little louder?
Hello?
No, we can't hear you.
Hello?
Can't hear you, madam.
Hello? Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, it's better now.
Yes, I just have two questions. The first one is, are we looking for any more acquisitions in coming quarters?
Sorry, madam, can't understand what you're saying.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
We thank everyone for taking our time to participate in this call and for their interest in Saxof. I hope we've been able to answer your queries. In case of any other queries, please reach out to us or our investor relations advisors, Valorem Advisors. Thank you everyone for joining us.
Thank you. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.